Hello, I'm Daphne. I'm an alcoholic. And it was so nice to come in tonight and just be welcomed by all your smiling faces. It just goes to show you, no matter where you are, you're always welcome in the arms of AA. I have a home group. I've worked the 12 steps. My sobriety date is April 20th, 2010. And I have a sponsor who has a sponsor, and I have a sponsorship family. And currently I have one sponsee. The reason I start with that is just to show that it works when you work it. And it certainly has worked for me when I take suggestions and I give my all in this program and to God. Well, I guess I'll start like how it was like, and it wasn't pretty. I grew up in a divorced family. There was a lot of fighting, a lot of drama all the time. And I'm not a product of my environment. It's just simply a part of my story, not a victim. My dad left me and my little sister when I was 9, and it got hard for us because I had to take care of my little sister because my mom went through such a hard time. It was her high school sweetheart. She knew nothing else but my dad. She didn't know how to run a household or take care of a family. So I decided that I needed to step up and make her happy because I thought my job as the child was to make my mom happy. with that, my sister and I struggled a lot. Trying to understand why our family wasn't really around and trying to take care of ourselves. And, you know, I was making my sister's lunch for school and taking her to school, and I was 9 years old. So I was like a little adult. I still act like I don't need anyone. I'm independent, but I'm working on it. Pretty much I didn't really, I guess, I started seeing signs of my disease when my sister and I kind of developed an eating disorder and early on, and then it turned into drinking and partying with my friends. I think this disease is a disease, and that it comes in all forms. Pretty much at first, I really enjoyed getting out of the house and letting loose with my friends. I got a lot of attention from my friends, and that's why I didn't like to be at home. There were days and weeks that would go by, and I never would set foot in my house. And, you know, I was kind of free to do what I wanted. So I lived my life the way I wanted to. And I thought that's what freedom was. Was doing whatever you wanted, when you wanted it, how you wanted it. And it's so funny today because I have a totally different perspective of freedom, and that's following these spiritual principles and guidelines and following suggestions and a higher power. So by following the rules, I'm actually more of a free person today. But like Amanda said, we went to boarding school and college together, and it was just, I remember I was so jealous of her because for superlative she got party animal and I got teacher's pet, and I was so mad. I wanted party animal and I was teacher's pet, and I was so embarrassed. I was like, how did I get teacher's pet? You know, I was so embarrassed because I wanted to, like, I didn't think that was cool at all. To be the teacher's pet. And so then we went to college, and you know, with good intentions, you know, get an education. And we certainly got an education, just not really in academics. it's kind of weird being here because this is my old stomping grounds. I had some rough times around these areas, and it's mixed emotions being back, but it's a good thing. I just couldn't stop. There came a point where It was every single day, every second of the day, whatever I could get to get me out of myself. And I could never be comfortable with who I was, you know, all the symptoms that we all experienced. And I didn't really understand what was going on with me. I thought, you know, there came a point where I thought, well, this is who I am, and I let alcohol become my demise, and I totally accepted that, that it would be. I mean, I'd heard of Alcoholics Anonymous and rehab and whatever, and, you know, I just didn't think it was for me. I ended up moving in with a boyfriend and leaving school, and I took all my loan money, and I put it into an account, and it was about $12,000, and I blew it all in like 3 weeks on alcohol. And that was like a turning point for me, because it got me more physically addicted. So I needed it at all times. And I moved in with this boyfriend, and it just spiraled downward from there. Like, it was an abusive relationship, and I was, like, scared to leave, but scared not to leave, like, scared to stay, but scared to leave, and I kind of just got stuck in one place. And it took a lot for my family to come down and see me like that. They were seriously disturbed by the way I was living, and so pretty much I was taken from the house, never saw the guy again, and I was thrown into rehab on the East Coast, and they just wanted to, you know, get me away from the environment I was in. And, you know, I'm in this rehab, and I'm like, okay, you know, everyone's just like me in here, and that's cool. And then I started going through the withdrawals and everything, and I started freaking out, and I wanted to leave so bad. And but I made it through, and there was like a 13-night period where I didn't sleep at all. I just stayed up the whole time, and I started hallucinating, and I was so out of sorts. And you know, they do room checks, and, you know, a man comes in, or a woman, and with the flashlight, and I'd always be like, hey, I'm just still chilling here, like, what's up, you know, because I was so, like, strung out. But there was this one time where a guy came in without a flashlight, and I was like, hello? Hello? And I thought it was, like, part of my hallucination, because, like, I don't think anyone was there. But it was a turning point in my life, because all of a sudden, I didn't feel alone like I had for so long. And I felt like someone was there, you know, like, they were there, and they're just like, hey, I'm here to watch you. You're okay. Like, you know, like, I'm here for you. I love you, sort of thing. And I don't know why, like, I never believed in anything like spiritual before my whole life. In fact, I talked to a friend yesterday, and she's like, yeah, I've been reading your Facebook. It's a lot of spiritual stuff. And she's like, I'm not really getting it. And she's like, she's like, I can't picture you being like that at all. And I was like, oh, was I mean to you? I'm thinking, oh, there's another amends I have to make. And she's like, no, she's like, you thought, like, you just never mentioned one word about any religion or God. And I was like, oh, okay. But anyway, it was so weird, because from that night on, I had this, like, overwhelming urge to believe in something. And, I hadn't had an education about a higher power in the program yet. So I know that there was, like, someone there watching me that night. And from the, I'd like to say that I stayed sober, and I lived happily ever after, but I didn't. And it took me a couple times to get this, and in and out to get this. You know, I struggled a lot with feeling comfortable in my skin, and I also struggled a lot with, you know, the changes you go through in sobriety and, you know, not being as thin as I was and when I was using or drinking. And, you know, I struggled with things like that and abuse from my past. And, you know, I got it when I got it. I don't have it. I have it just for today, but I started really surrendering when I did on my own time. And it took a couple more institutions, but, you know, there's this one, like a couple years later I was in this rehab and I was still like on this rampage. Like I had like a suicide attempt, so I was really angry. And I had broke into the office in rehab, got my cell phone, took the guard's keys, got my cell phone, turned it on, and I called for some alcohol to be delivered to me at rehab. And, you know, I was just, like, insane. Like, I needed to be, like, I begged of my family to put me in a nunnery or whatever because for years, because I thought, like, I would never get this. Like, you have to put me away in some secluded mountain area, like the Arctic somewhere, so I can get this. But there's that story in the Big Book, like, you know, even about the Eskimo. So, you know, I had to want it. So I relapsed in rehab, and then, you know, I went to my therapist, and I was like, I was so ready to just, like, pack my bags and leave and be like, listen, I relapsed, like, I'm sorry, like, and so sorry, I, like, ruined everything. So I went to him, and I was like, listen, I'm gonna go because last night I drank, and he was like, sit down, you're not going anywhere. And of course that got me another 80 days or something. And you know, if something came over me, I was just like, I'm tired. It wasn't like I'm in pain or I want to die or I want to live. It was just I'm tired. Like, I'm tired of running around like a crazy person. And thank you. I was just this exhausted, and I had been through so much pain, and that didn't work for me. It was like the fact that I was tired, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to give this a shot. I'm going to chill out and stay in this rehab, and I did, and I finished, I got out, and I was really scared because I felt like all the times I had relapsed had been so random, and I was really scared of being out in society. So I did everything I could. I took all suggestions. My sponsor told me to go to a women's IOP group. I did. I ended up doing it for like a year and a half, and the requirement is like 3 months. But it really helped me. I made a women's group my home group. I dedicated myself to service. You know, I just threw myself into this program, and everything I put in, I got back, and it really changed my life from there on. And you know, for every day for like a year, I was so scared. I was scared to leave the house. I was scared to go back in the house. I was scared to drive. I was scared, you know, like, I was so full of fear. And then I realized, you know what, like, I trust in my higher power, whom I choose to call God. And, I just feel like when I give my heart to Him, I'm safe. And when I come into these rooms, I'm safe. And, you know, the fear has dissipated. And I still have those days where I'm all scared. But I just come to a meeting, or I talk to a friend, or I talk to my sponsor. Sobriety and these rooms have given me so much. And I'll give you a list, and it's not a material list. It's love. It's how to love others. Friendship. A family. I have a family like I never thought I would ever have. Like, I thought the family is the family you're born into, but it's the people you surround yourself with. They're my family now. And they will do anything for me. Like, if I need something, if I'm upset in the middle of the night, they will come to talk to me. You know, vice versa today, because I'm able to do that. I'm strong enough to be there for someone. Like, I could never be there for someone. I tried to take care of my sister when I was little. I was not capable of doing that. I was not capable of being in a relationship. Today I am. I have my freedom. I can walk the streets. I can, like, go to stores without people wondering, like, is she okay? Or, like, should we call an ambulance? Or, you know, like, I can smile and say, hello, how are you? And I can mean it. And not just be like, yeah, hi, how are you? Like, what can you give me? Thank you very much. You know, I have the best friends in the world. And I'm able to, you know, travel across the state and stay with one of them and feel like I'm at home. And it's just so amazing that we've made it this far together, because if you had noticed in the past, no one had hope. No one did. I have a life. I have self-worth. That's something I never had. Like, I didn't care if I lived or died. I really didn't. To feel like I care today is so different. It's like weird. Like, I actually care about living my life and helping others. And I love helping others so much, and I love the Lord so much today that I'm going back to school to pursue a degree in ministry and psychology, and that's a gift in itself as well. I just want to dedicate my life to helping others because I'm so grateful for what I have. You know, I have a relationship with my little sister today. She, like, used to come visit me here when I was in college, and she used to cry and when she saw me. And I seriously, genuinely did not understand why she was crying. I was like, why are you crying again? Like, I don't understand you. Don't come visit me if you're going to cry. And now she just came to visit me, and she was so happy. Like, we were able to go to the beach together. I could never make it to the beach in the past. Like, I couldn't make it there. And if we did go to the beach, we'd have to leave because I'd have to go drink again, like, right now. So she just, like, just to see her happy and her face glow to spend time with me is so cool. You know, I got to spoil her. I got to take her out to dinner and the movies and shopping, and that just felt so good. My relationship with my sponsor is amazing. She is the one who saved my life, like, almost 2 years ago today. And if it weren't for her, I probably wouldn't be here at all. She decided to come check on me one day, and it was just in time. Like, I call her my guardian angel all the time. And, as far as, you know, I got a job, like, 2 years ago as, like, a little recovery job, like, part-time, whatever, and today it's turned into a career. And I'm sorry, but, like, I've never had a job, like, a little part-time job turn into a career in, like, a year. Like, you know, it just goes to show that my actions have changed, my behaviors have changed. Someone sees something in me. I'm in charge of a multi-million dollar store. Like, who would ever put this girl in charge of anything? I don't know. I'm so glad they don't know anything about, like, I protect my anonymity at work for a good reason. And, you know, I employ other people, and that feels so good, too, to see people who really need jobs get jobs and work them is, like, a reward as well. So I've just went on and on about all the rewards in my life because I'm so grateful. I have it so good, and it's all because of this program. It's all because of God working in my life. There's not like one bad thing I can say about my life today. And if you met me a couple years ago and asked me how I was doing, I'd be like, not good. And I didn't be able to be like list all these other things. But just to do a 180 like that, like it really shows you that this program works when you work it. It's attraction, not promotion. I'm not trying to promote the program, but I don't know. If I can get it, anyone can. And I thank you so much for having me tonight. It's been such a joy, and I couldn't have asked for anything more. So thank you.